TLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
And welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here all this week as we end 11 years of this program and start our 12th year. We invited the major candidates running for mayor of Indianapolis on Monday, Democrat Larry Vaughn. Tuesday, Republican Jocelyn Tandiadande. Yesterday, Olgin Williams, the deputy mayor, running for the Republican nomination. Today, Joe Hogsett, who is running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. He is the endorsed candidate of the Democratic Party, and Joe Hogsett joins me live. Welcome. How you doing?
I am glad to be here, Amos, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. If it's the show birthday, but whatever.
The show birthday.
A couple of opening questions that we've given to all the candidates this year. One is our standard one. Why are you running?
Well, that's the foundational question. You know me, Amos, after serving as the chief prosecutor for the last 4 years in the United States Attorney's Office, I've become profoundly concerned about the level of crime. I mean, just the other day we read where a 9-year-old girl was shot randomly while she was selling Girl Scout cookies. Now, if that's not indicative of the nature of the problem, I don't know what is. I've got a 9-year-old daughter myself, and I'll do anything as a father to protect my 9-year-old daughter. I just want the people of this community to know that if elected mayor, I'll do anything I can within my power to protect their children and they as well. So crime is obviously an important motivating factor in my decision making, but also Amos, being the United States Attorney, you're limited in your ability to impact the community to just identifying, investigating, right, indicting, prosecuting, and incarcerating people who misbehave. And if we're going to meaningfully solve the crime issue, the public safety challenge that this city faces, we have to do more than just arrest and incarcerate people. That's not the solution.
One of the other questions is coming up, and it's in the context of the endorsed Republican candidate who has only been a resident of this city for 3 to 4 years. And also on the assumption that not everybody who's listening knows the Joe Hogsett story. I've been here 40 years, known Joe Hogsett for 38 of those 40 years, but there may be other people that don't know the Joe Hogsett story. Who's Joe Hogsett? Where did you arrive, you know, in a chariot from just out of nowhere one day? Who is Joe Hogsett?
Well, one thing that I could never be accused of is arriving in a chariot, that's for sure. You know, I was born and raised in a little town called Rushville, right outside of Indianapolis. My dad worked out at Plant 5 and Plant 8 out on the southwest side of town when it was Allison's, out there on Raymond and Tibbs. Graduated from high school, went down to IU, did my undergraduate work down there, stayed in Bloomington and got a law degree. And so I have been in this community for, as you've just indicated, almost 4 decades now. You know, in several different capacities. First, I've been a lawyer in the private practice for the better part of 25 years now, I guess. And then many of your listeners may remember I served for essentially 6 years as the Secretary of State of the state of Indiana back in the late 80s, early 90s. That was some time ago, I know, but maybe some of your listeners remember that. And then most recently, I entered public service when President Obama asked me to serve as the United States Attorney and did so for 4 years.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Is your opportunity to talk directly with Joe Hogsett, Democratic candidate for mayor, about the issues that are important to you. So Joe Hogsett, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I get stuff from all the candidates. And I got this note that said, Hogsett for Indianapolis announces policy leadership team. And it included the former Lieutenant Governor Kathy Davis, the prosecutor Terry Curry, Pastor David Hampton of Light of the World, Cordelia Lewis Burks, who is the vice chair of the Indiana Democratic Party, honorary chair. I got a great list of people. on there, many of whom I know. But I talked to several folk in the community that saw this list, and they said, you know, Amos, that's a great list that Joe put together, and he's got this group that's going to help advise him on not only how to deal with the violent crime, but the fact that one in three kids in this county is below poverty, and our educational attainment can be better. But I looked down that list, and I didn't see folks on there that live in the hood, and not just the black hood, but the hoods of this city, whether it's Mars Hill, whether it's Martindale Brightwood, whether it's Pike Township, whether it's down there south of Southport, didn't see people that are with the working class folks, the folks like your dad. Mm-hmm. So where do those voices, where do those suggestions, where do those folks have entree mm-hmm. to your campaign, to you, to say, Joe, you need to come out here on my street and you need to see what I've got to deal with?
Well, that's a good question, and I would answer it two ways. First, you know, with me today is my deputy campaign manager, Peter Luster, and Peter represents an individual who understands this community quite well, has worked in many different capacities, but understands our neighborhoods and their needs, understands what folk throughout our community really are calling on our administration, if elected, to do. So I am surrounded in my campaign by people, I think, with a profound and deep knowledge of our neighborhoods. But let me answer it a second way, Amos. I mean, that's going to be my job as mayor. My job as mayor, if elected, is to understand and appreciate and make difference for the neighborhoods that all too often in our community have been ignored and overlooked. Now, let me be clear. We need to be proud of Indianapolis. We need to be proud of our community because there is much that we can say that is good and right and prosperous. But as I said at the King Memorial Celebration in years past, we live in two cities. We live in one city where the streets seem to be gilded in gold. And yet you walk a half a mile, a mile, maybe 2 miles away from that neighborhood. You go into a whole different city. And it is ultimately the responsibility of the mayor. So to get back to your question, you know, those thought leaders that I have asked to help me, advise me on policy related matters, they may come from backgrounds in education or in workforce development, in job creation, in affordable housing, in crime and public safety, like our prosecutor Terry Curry or many others. My job is to understand the people of this city. And the only way you understand the needs of the people of this city is to be a profiled participant in the neighborhoods in this city.
So you've been already in the beauty shops and barbershops.
Well, I can't say that I've been in every single one of them, but we are in a very vigorous and profiled outreach, particularly to the African American community and other communities, because we have truly become an international city that I think any mayor needs to responsibly do.
Before I open up the phone calls, as you have gone around since August, and obviously you were in the rarefied air of the U.S. Attorney's Office, and as you've gotten back into the streets of Indianapolis, what has surprised you? What, as you've gone around the city and county, as you've seen what's really going on, what has surprised you that you are seeing that you didn't expect to see?
The modesty of our people and the modesty and humility of their requests. Let me give you the example. You're talking about neighborhoods. I go into neighborhoods 4-5 times a week to meet with neighborhood residents. And I ask them, what can city government do? How can a new mayor help your neighborhood out? Of course, they always talk about crime. But when I say the modesty and humility of their requests, some people in politics, more cynical, kind of just expect that they're going to be asked to provide the sun, the stars, and the moon. Mm-hmm. You know, make my neighborhood gilded in gold overnight. Right. We all know that's unrealistic. Right. What has surprised me and encouraged me and given me hope and optimism is that these wonderfully thoughtful, well-intentioned people, when you ask them, what can I do to help your neighborhood? Their requests are as simple and as powerful as, can you put in a couple streetlights? Can you give us some sidewalks or new curbing? Can you make sure the stop sign or the stoplight gets replaced in a timely way? Or, more often than not, Amos, you know what I've heard? Can you just bring a grocery store to our neighborhood so that we can get decent food at a decent price and not have to get on a bus and drive halfway across or ride halfway across the city just to get to a supermarket? That type of modesty and humility about people really speaks volumes about how well-grounded the citizens of Indianapolis are and how they are focused on important, essential things to improve their quality of life.
Let me start today with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Am I coming in pretty clear?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Hey, topic, just so you know the topic, I want to just say a few things about it before I release my question, but the topic is slating in Marion County. To the best of my knowledge, Marion County is the only county in Indiana where both major parties do this slating shenanigan. I pride myself in being an independent voter. I voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and then I went with my state in 2012. And, you know, I vote for the person. I do not vote for the candidate. I've always done it that way, and to the best knowledge, I always do it. I plan on doing it that way, and I really get disturbed by the way the taxpayers, you know, fund a primary election for both the Democrats and the Republicans, and yet the party bosses pretty much tell us who to vote for in the primary, whichever primary we vote for. And I guess that just really bothers me a lot. And I know that, you know, you want to reward the precinct committee men. I understand that, but still, if you're gonna if you're gonna have the party bosses pick the candidate, then why not do away with the primary and save the taxpayers a lot of money? I guess, you know,
Mark, to be fair to everybody that's waiting in the queue, you got the statement. What's the question?
Okay, that's the question. So what's his opinion about slating in Marion County? What can we do to get rid of it?
All right, let me let the candidate respond.
Well, Mark, that's a very good question. Slating is a controversial, there's no question that slating is a controversial topic. In fact, the fact that you identified that Marion County may be one of the few remaining, if maybe the only remaining county that does it, I think underscores that, you know, perhaps it is a process whose time has come and gone. I'm going to participate in slating on Saturday of this week because that's simply the way the rules are currently made. But let me say this, and I think most importantly, Mark, to the concerns that you expressed about slating and how it affects primaries and then ultimately, you know, a general election. I want to make one thing absolutely clear, and my fellow partisans on the Democratic side of the aisle, I hope understand this, who have come to know me over the last 30 years. I'm not running to be the mayor of the Democratic Party. And if there are Democrats out here or out there who think that that's what I ought to be doing, then I have a profound disagreement with you. I am running to be the mayor of the city of Indianapolis. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, what have you. And so I hope to be the kind of mayor that does not approach issues from a purely partisan perspective. I hope to be the kind of mayor that after the election is over and all of the partisan falderal has run its course, then all of us together, working together, can come together and improve the quality of life for the people of this city in nonpartisan ways.
And the other thing, Mark, is he has primary opposition. There is someone else on the ballot, Larry Vaughn, on the Democratic side. There are several candidates on the Republican side, and the filing deadline is noon tomorrow. So in some of the council district races, there may be several people on the ballot running for primary seats, and then Democrats and Republicans will decide who goes in the finals in November. Let me go to William at 239-1310. Hi there.
Oh, Mr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine.
How you doing, Mr. Hoffman?
Good, William.
Hey, listen, I don't make up my mind often this early in the game would be a military or any kind of race. But you got my vote, number one.
Well, thank
you. You have answered my question, how are you going to represent the people of the city of Indianapolis? You already answered that by saying that you will be representing all of the people of the city of Indianapolis, regardless of party or whatever particular agenda the people are holding up. But I would like to make this comment. I have been following you for quite a few years, and I don't go for the people that talk a lot. I don't listen to the people's comments. I look at what they do, and you have represented the people that you had the opportunity to represent quite well. And I would just want to tell you, you understand that I think that you are very well qualified. And once again, you have my vote.
Thank you, William.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name. Is back to the phones. And Robert, hi there.
How you doing, Amos and Mr. Hartstead?
Robert, how are you today?
Oh, pretty good, I guess. Well, what I'd like to ask you, would you be receptive to a person out of the neighborhood that would come to you, submit a list to you of the hot spots in the neighborhood when it comes to crime, or bring it in personally to your office? And would you act aggressively, things that would be on that list? And another question is, what would you pursue crime vigorously, regardless of what the neighborhood perceived that crime to be, whether it's civil or a major felony crime? Would you go after them just as vigorously as you would the little crime, so-called little crime?
Well, in answer to your first question, Robert, I would welcome you to provide, or anyone to provide, a list of neighborhood activists who want to play a more prominent role in helping shape neighborhood policy, particularly as it relates to the campaign in which I'm engaged. And certainly, if elected, as I said earlier in today's program, I intend to be the kind of mayor who is out in the neighborhoods with some degree of frequency, listening and trying to respond to the needs of the neighborhood. So the answer to the first question is an unequivocal yes, and we can provide contact information for you to submit any lists or any names or any other suggestions that you might have. You know, as it relates to the second question about priority over and above crime, you know, I have to be a little careful here because we do have a Marion County prosecutor who is charged with the responsibility of prosecuting any kind of criminal offense in Marion County. And I have full credit and confidence in Terry Curry's ability to be as consistent and fair across the board as anyone can possibly be. But I would direct your attention, Robert, to my record for 4 years in the United States Attorney's Office, which I think speaks for itself as being vigorous in all four corners of the Southern District of Indiana, and holding people accountable, not just for gun-related violence, not just for the trafficking in illegal narcotics, but the wonderful work that we did in prosecuting those who would exploit our children through child pornography and other forms of exploitation, the wonderful work that we did in holding people accountable who would scam and victimize our seniors out of, in many instances, their lifetime of savings. You know, from the very innocent and the youngest among us to the oldest among us, we were very vigorous in our prosecution across the spectrum for those who needed our assistance, and it's that record upon which I'll run in this mayor's race.
I just hope you your record follows you to the mayor's office. That's what you've answered the key points of my my two questions.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
I appreciate it, Robert. Let me briefly go to Anonymous at 239-1310, and then my folks tell me, Anonymous, you're asking the question. She was trying to ask the question of all the candidates this week. Do you favor legalizing marijuana? Because she doesn't think marijuana ought to be legalized for sale here in Marion County.
Is that your question now?
No, that's her question. That's what she asked out of all the other candidates. She got through.
Yeah, I don't favor legalization of marijuana. I know that there is a grand debate going on in the country today, and it's obviously not something that would be a priority if elected a mayor. And I come at the question, as you know, and as I've mentioned several times already, as a former prosecutor. So, you know, there are certain inherent, inclinations that a prosecutor has that, you know, your average citizen wouldn't have. Certainly, if the country made a move to legalize marijuana, as states have in Colorado and Washington and other places, that's not going to cause me to hang up my shoes and go back out in the private sector. But it's certainly not going to be a priority in my campaign.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's Amos. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Joe Hogshead, Democratic candidate. Tomorrow, live coverage of the president's speech at Ivy Tech. The Indianapolis Star is reporting, this is going to be interesting, that flying out with the president tomorrow, this according to the Indianapolis Star, is former Senator Dick Lugar, getting a free ride on Air Force One. And supposedly, Joe Hogshead, the mayor of Indianapolis, Greg Ballard, will introduce the president at Ivy Tech. We'll have a lot to talk about in the pregame before the president's speech tomorrow. Live coverage begins at our regular time at 1 o'clock. Anyways, after news with Amos, after these.
This is Pastor Jeffrey Johnson, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos with Joe Hogshead. Back to the phones and Georgia boy. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Brown?
We're fine. What's up?
Hey, Robert, knock the ball out the park. I want to ask Joe, if you get elected mayor and you find out somebody on the 25th floor done cooked the books, will you turn it over to the attorney general? And you know what? Me saying that, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm like the other guy, I'm going to vote for you. I'll be back in Indianapolis. I will be voting for you, my brother.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the question. The answer is pretty straightforward. As the United States Attorney, I think the FBI, in conjunction with our office, conducted the first wide-scale investigation of the city-county building in our city's recent history that ended up being with indictments in what was known as the land bank scandal. Look, in these next few months, I'm going to be announcing what I hope is a comprehensive ethics proposal that will even further ensure that the public's trust is maintained. And I wouldn't be consistent with the priority that I brought to public integrity and public corruption prosecutions in the United States Attorney's Office if I didn't keep that same commitment to the people of this city as mayor. If there's anybody in city government who is violating the public's trust, they're going to be dealt with swiftly. They're going to be dealt with effectively.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I will be voting for you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon. His name is back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I'm Liz, but I just want to say that I think that this man might be the man of the hour. Let me tell you two quick things. I think he understands the principles of God. And I'm not saying religion. I'm talking about belief. And even me, most time when I'm out, I look real homely. That's for a reason. He seen me on the circle. He didn't know who I was. He just came over and said, hi, I'm Joe Hawks. And I said, I know who you are. But it's something about him, Amos. I think if we give him a chance, he'll do the right thing. And that means a lot. But see, I just want him to stay honest and clean once he gets in there. I believe he'll make it.
All right.
That's it.
I appreciate it. Thank you,
Liz.
Let me, Joe Hawk said earlier this week we had the people from the Indy 11 soccer team on trying to explain why we all ought to be excited about an $80 million soccer stadium where sales taxes and entertainment taxes and income taxes of the players and workers would be diverted to pay for that that would only be used 30, 40 times out of a year. And the listeners were not enthused. They were not excited about it. Any mayor, Democrat or Republican, in any of the major cities in this country has to deal with a balancing act between people coming to your office saying, I want to build some fancy, wonderful thing in your downtown or in your city, then you got to put some money up, versus the residents of the city of all political parties saying, my streets are broken down, I don't have the sidewalk, the rats are taking over, what have you. Why aren't they investing in that? You're elected mayor. How are you going to do that balancing act between somebody coming to you and say, hey, I want to do this nice, fancy, shiny thing in the living room of Indianapolis downtown, which has all these shiny things, and they don't want to invest in some of the lesser areas of our city and county?
Well, I think that's a very good question, a fair question, long overdue. I'd start by saying that I hope that the Indiana General Assembly could persuaded, irrespective of how they decide the soccer stadium issue. That's their decision to make, and but I hope that they would also, at the same time, start loosening up the stranglehold in terms of fiscal home rule. That, and I'm not talking about just the city of Indianapolis. I mean, you could ask mayors from Gary down to Evansville, all across the state, about how desperately municipalities need more flexibility in terms of managing their own finances and their own fiscal integrity. And that goes to the heart of your question. I mean, if the money isn't available, then you have to make very careful and difficult decisions about how you're going to invest the limited monies that you have. Now, we have a beautiful downtown. Everybody understands that the economic engine of our community is driven by what happens in the downtown area. And no mayor worth his or her salt would be responsible if they did not continue to prime that economic pump. But I think that I want to be the kind of mayor, Amos, that doesn't lose sight of the importance of downtown, but who focuses as a priority on many of the neighborhoods throughout our community that, as I said earlier, have been either ignored or overlooked or simply bypassed because of the lack of funds. The question about, well, I mean, where do you find the money to do that? Well, you have to run a very prudent and fiscally responsible government. You've got to find cost savings wherever they might be found. And then, hopefully, with some support from the Indiana General Assembly, you know, maybe we will be given a little bit more of an opportunity at the local level to chart our own course and determine our own futures financially and make the kinds of investments in human capital and in the quality of life that will make our neighborhoods and our community a much better place to live.
Back to the phones in Cava. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I am voting for Hawksett, and it's very disappointing to have a mayor and a governor that is not a people person, and we haven't had anybody since Bart Peterson that was a people person that want to avoid issues and voice the public, and that's why the city seemed like it's so divided and falling apart. Another thing I want to say, you don't have to answer me while I'm on the phone, but you have these hot spots where you're busting a lot of the African-American drugs, selling drugs, and you're taking all this money out of the neighborhood. Why come you can't put it back in the neighborhood and build up sidewalks? Where you're out in the other neighborhoods where they already have sidewalks and you're putting roundabouts. But then you say you got these hot spots and you're busting all these little 9-year-olds, these kids, all their dads, they're locked up or they're selling drugs, and you're still taking money from them, but you can't give them a sidewalk. But then you're getting money out of that area. That's all I want to say.
That's an interesting point. You bust the drugs, you get the forfeiture money. That's an interesting point. Bring the forfeiture money back in the neighborhood that got victimized. That's an it.
Either to tell the truth.
Law enforcement would like that, but that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, you'd have to obviously work with law enforcement.
Because they're the ones that usually get the
in that regard, out. Because the forfeiture process is in no small measure driven by those kinds of seizures. But I mean, I think the point is well taken. And let me just add one little 20-second commercial to that point. As the former United States attorney, there is one thing, Amos, that I bring to this race that, with all due respect to my, my good friends, Larry and, Jocelyn and Olgin, they all bring, their own strengths. They all bring their own, weaknesses. I have my weaknesses, but one of my strengths that I bring to this race is the 4 years that I did serve as the United States attorney. And what I mean by that is, I have, I hope, very good working relationships with federal, state, and local law enforcement so that if people are truly concerned about how law enforcement is operating, how law enforcement is behaving, or how law enforcement is effectively keeping our neighborhoods safe, I believe that because of the relationships that I enjoy at all levels of law enforcement, and all levels of prosecution, that is an experience that I can put to the benefit of the people of this city and to recover our neighborhoods so that grandparents and parents won't be afraid to have their 9-year-old daughters walk the streets selling Girl Scout cookies.
And back to the phones and Brother Motab. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
All right, how you doing, Mr. Hoxer?
How are you, Motab?
All right, thank you. Appreciate taking my call. I just got two quick questions for you. Number one would be, we hear a lot about downtown and Angeles begging for money that's never made. It is all out of service jobs. I've been to Ohio and Michigan and a few other places. Caterpillar is putting a lot of work in Michigan, Ohio. Why Indianapolis, Ford, General Motors, Navistar, and Chrysler in the last 15 years. What can you do as a mayor to bring those companies back, even if they're Japanese auto companies, I don't care, bring those back because those companies have a lot of large hiring that goes on for truly middle-class jobs and that probably would allow more black folks to work because they follow the federal hiring guidelines a little bit better. And then number two is that why should black people continue to keep voting for the Democratic Party, giving 92% of our vote to the Democratic Party? We got a council downtown that's ran by the Democrats, but yet it seems business is still usual. It seems that they've just taken on the same, morphed into the same thing the Republicans do. This is a national feeling that black folks are down on the list in the Democratic Party, women, same-sex couples, and Latinos are overstepped us. And why should we continue to do that? And it seems like our issues are not being addressed. I'll take the answers off the air. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your questions, Motab. Question number one, in terms of the job loss that the city has experienced and how we get back those jobs, particularly the good-paying jobs that require a level of skill, whether that be semi-skilled or even highly skilled. I mean, economic development models change over time. That's just the nature of the issue. And the old model where economic development was largely focused on mayors or governors, chief executives, going out to, you know, various states around the country and in some cases in recent past, mayors taking worldwide trips. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, that kind of recruitment is completely outside the realm of job creation and attraction. But in today's economic model, economic development is really begins with empowering our people and educating our people and gathering together in our city, whether it be our own residents or encouraging people to move into our city who are bright and they are talented and they are energetic and they're creative and they're innovative. Because if you have this group of residents with a level of educational attainment, that is in comport with the needs of the job, the jobs will follow. Business people, businesses generally, you know, they're not stupid. They're going to locate in places where they have a ready willing and able workforce that they can call upon to develop. And the other thing I would say in the area of economic development, I think that as mayor, I would want to focus a lot of time, energy, and attention on businesses that are already rooted in our neighborhoods and throughout this community and find new and better ways to help those businesses grow and add jobs, because that doesn't require monies being spent for tax incentives per se, because those jobs are already here. How do we provide an environment where those business owners can expand and create more opportunities? And that's a win-win proposition.
Let me go to Anonymous quickly at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe, when are you going to debate your primary opponent, Larry Vaughn?
Well, you know,
I want a front row seat to that. I mean, I don't like either one of you guys, but you know, it'd be entertainment anyway.
Well, I appreciate the question, and we haven't set out any dates yet, but I'm sure
thinking about it. That's good.
Maybe what Amos could do is get some time on an afternoon program, and Larry and I could come in.
I want to sell tickets to that. Let me put it this way, caller. If Larry and Joe agree to that, then I'm sure you will agree with me that we get the Republican candidates, both Olgin Williams, if he's in it to win it, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, and then Mr. Brewer, hopefully will learn, how to come on the radio like all the other candidates, and they can do their debate for the Republican primary.
Oh, well, I'd listen to that. I mean, those are people with ideas, you know, that's why they're Republican.
Well, thanks for the call.
I'm still looking to see, does Mr. Brewer have any ideas? Let me go back to the phones and another anonymous, then we'll take a break. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Brown. Hi, Attorney Hogsett.
How are you? Hi.
I think we asked your question already.
Well, I would like to add something, if I may, please.
Sure. Very quickly.
Oh, thank you so much. I would like to breathe air without drugs in my nose, my lungs, my brain, and I don't want to get run over by somebody drugged up in their car. And I was hoping that people who are on drugs would not have to go to prisons, but somehow we could keep them from being on the drugs and don't let them vote to legalize drugs for several years. And also, I was wondering if Attorney Hogsett is for or against medical marijuana or any marijuana legalized. I don't want that to get legalized, either one.
I think he made that kind of clear in the earlier answer, because we tried to pull you up and you weren't there. But we appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Joe Hogsett tomorrow. We're live from Ivy Tech, where the president is coming to town, first time in 4 years, talking about what he's going to do for the middle class. All that and more after these.
Hi, this is Linda L.C. Clements, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Back to the phones in Regina. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I just want to say many blessings to all the candidates, because when a person do right in office as well as a civilian, things is going to work out anyway, okay? Now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get in touch with somebody, because I'm getting ready to do a proposal. As you ride around every day and reflect, you can see that a lot of people in Indiana do not use their signal lights. And yeah. Right. I'm telling you. And if you could count on your, I'm telling you, every day everybody could pull up at least 20 times. Somebody failed or whatever. That's a way of raising money instead of sometimes pulling the tax dollars for doing different things. So I don't know if the mayor office do it, but I don't know how to get through to nobody. And say, like, if the governor's pitches on the traffic, do they collaborate, or could he help me out? The candidate that's up there now, could he help me out in some kind of way to get this done?
So you want the police to ticket cars that aren't signaling so the local community can make that money.
But you know why? I believe traffic accidents would go down, because everyone I ride by, and you'll see two cars.
Yeah.
Nobody has a signal blinking. And it's just far beyond me that they cut it off.
All right. Well, when we get, well, here's the deal. When we get, hold on. When we get to the end of the show, Joe Hogsett will give his contact information, but I'll ask that implicit in her question is when you are a city that don't have enough police, certain things get pushed to the wayside, and some would say that traffic enforcement and writing tickets is one of those things that have gone by the wayside because we don't have enough police.
Well, that's true. We don't have enough police, and while that won't, you know, more police won't solve all of our problems. Look, Amos, I think that Regina has a valid point, and I will tell you that in the next couple of months, in conjunction with the Marion County Prosecutor, Terry Curry, who's, as you've identified, one of the co-chairs of my policy advisory group, he and I intend to provide the people of this city with a comprehensive public safety proposal, a plan of action.
Is this going to be like the Hogsett plan, or you'll have a different name for all of this?
Well, I don't know whether we're going to name it. I hope if it has a name, it'll be safer and peaceful, more peaceful neighborhoods.
So these will be like white papers. These will be things that that people in Indianapolis can download, can print out, and read for themselves.
Right. And I think the reason why I bring that up in the context of Regina. Point is, I think as part of our public safety proposal, there'll be some new and creative ideas about how the Sheriff's Department, IMPD, the Prosecutor's Office, the Federal U.S. Attorney's Office, how we can collectively work together to provide, as you've just identified, maybe areas where coverage hasn't been as sufficient as it should be.
On the Justice Center, should we slow down and let first the people of Indianapolis decide who the next mayor is, and then that individual makes the decision on how we proceed with building a justice center and how we pay for it?
Well, I certainly wouldn't mind making decisions about that, and obviously I'm not going to be in a position to make decisions about that until, if elected, until January 1 of next year.
But is this a large enough decision that it needs to wait until the people decide who is going to be the next mayor and let that individual make that decision rather than try to rush in and say, we got to do this deal now?
I don't think you ought to rush into anything, Amos. And I think that, frankly, this particular project has not been well served because people just don't know a lot about it. And I'll be the first to admit on your program, I don't know that much about it. I don't know the financial details. Now, I know that those financial details are starting to be released, and I hope that our city county council has the opportunity to fully review and vet the numbers. I think that the process needs to be slowed at least to a pace where an informed and confident decision can be made.
Let me go to Jeffrey right quick at 239-1310. Jeffrey, you got 1 minute.
Yes, I was wondering if the candidate would be in favor of any type of laws, let them three strikes, you outlaws that they have down south and stuff like that, if they were trying to come on board in Indiana. Would he be in favor of anything like that?
You're talking at a state level? Three strikes and you're out?
Yeah. Because it has to be at a state level, I'm assuming, if it were state that would pass and not just a city level.
I thought we already had. I thought we already had three strikes, and you're out here in Indiana. Yeah. I can't.
Well, let me just say that to Jeffrey, to the larger question. I mean, one of the things that I did as the United States Attorney is vigorously prosecute, the worst of the worst, people whose criminal records really were so long that you could almost consider them a book. And what we found was using guidelines that federal criminal justice provides, that we were able to meaningfully take off the streets those who had time and time and time and time again proven that they just simply were not going to be productive members of our society, that every time they were released, that they would just go back to their way of life and wreak havoc in our neighborhoods. So at the bottom line, whether it's a state prosecution, whether it's a federal prosecution, for those who really have shown no remorse and no level of desire to be a productive citizen, to help move our city and our state forward, I think those laws are already on the books. We don't need more laws. We just need better law enforcement.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Dave Sims right quick, who's probably going to remind me it is the first Thursday in February, right, Dave?
You're right, and the mayor's invited to NAACP meeting. We meet every first Thursday of the month, 6:30, Junior Carson Center. Thank you.
All right, appreciate that.
Thank you, Dave.
Joe Hogshead, our standard closing question with all candidates is, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way to contact us directly is through the Hogshead for Mayor website, which is www.joehogshead.com. As I identified earlier, Pete Luster is also serving as deputy campaign manager, and he can be reached at P-L-U-S-T-E-R, P-Luster, at joehogshead.com.
All right, Joe Hogshead is one of the Democratic Democratic candidates running for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Indianapolis, the consolidated city of Indianapolis and Marion County. He is the candidate endorsed by the Democratic Party, but he's got to beat Larry Vaughn. He's got to meet him in the primary, which is exciting in itself. Joe Hogshead, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being with us. Are you on the stage tomorrow, or you have to sit in the audience at this thing at Ivy Tech?
Yeah, nobody has told me I'm on the stage, Amos. And I am excited that the president is once again coming to Indiana, once again coming to Indianapolis. It's a special day.
Why do I think that there'll be a picture of Joe Hogshead and the president that might end up on Joe Hogshead's website or out on Twitter? I have that feeling. Anyway, speaking of the president, live coverage of the president's remarks at Ivy Tech will be on our program tomorrow. Coverage begins at our regular time at 1 o'clock, and we'll kind of give you the flavor of our community of this event. The other media can give it their flavor. We're gonna put some soul into it, because this might be the president's last official visit to Indianapolis. You never know. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live from Ivy Tech.